You, Nathan Patrick, our guest for the day, friend of Lawrence's, grace us with your presence today and your song. Thank you so much. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. What a wonderful blessing and song you gave us this morning. Thank you so very much. Take your Bibles with us this morning. Turn to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus, the 14th chapter. We'll be reading a few verses of text for our message this morning. Exodus 14. It is good to see folks resuming their place in church this morning. Have folks coming back in. I call it trickling in. It's not a rush or an outpouring yet. I think next week will be more so. We resume our normal services next week with everyone here. We hope on Mother's Day, and we'll have a little gift for every mother present in the service next Sunday morning on Mother's Day as we come back together, and look forward greatly to that homecoming next Sunday morning. Same time, same station, those that are able to be here. You got your spot in Exodus chapter number 14. We begin reading in the first verse of Exodus 14. Exodus 14:1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptian pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Let's bow for prayer together. Lord, we ask that you would take our thoughts as they're scattered around the world right now in many different matters, and gather them together in your presence, in the presence of your holy word, and under the control of your Holy Spirit. And would you speak to us freely now through the word of God? And would you encourage, and would you admonish, would you do the work that's needful in each of our hearts in these moments together? We thank you for the privilege we're enjoying right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When closed in with seemingly no options and nowhere to go and no way out, what now? Well, we've experienced something unimaginable, quickly, haven't we, in these days with this coronavirus matter that's upon us? Where did it come from? What does it mean? Where do we go now? In 1776, Thomas Paine made this famous statement, and he said, among other things, "These are the times that try men's souls." The hard times that we've experienced do not create evil for us, but rather they serve to reveal the wickedness and the evil that's already resident among us and in some of us and within the heart of men. It reminds us of the conflict of the ages. You perhaps are well aware of. There is a grand conflict of the ages that has been engaged upon since time immemorial, that between God and Satan himself, that ageless conflict between good and evil that is reflected even in the affairs of men. It's a subject of TV shows and drama, isn't it? There's the good guys and the bad guys. There's good and evil. It's just been the refrain that we've heard echoing in our midst as long as we can remember. Well, you know, there are two heads of power in this universe. There's God and there's Satan, the evil one, the wicked one. I appreciated that song that we sang a few moments ago, "Mighty Fortress is Our God." One of the verses in that song referred to the fact that our ancient foe seeks to do us ill, to do wickedness against us. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that throughout this that we've been experiencing in these weeks and these months with this COVID-19, it's almost as if God has allowed the devil to slip the cover off the pit of hell for just a few moments and let escape some of the pestilence directed by him and let it infiltrate some of our activities upon earth. But God's in control of things, and he doesn't let things go beyond that which he permits for us. Well, what about all the business with this coronavirus, this COVID-19 stuff that is going around us? Well, we're faced with these colossal conflicts that we have. Let's focus on two things that we'll see from our text in a few moments. And let's remind ourselves that such is the conflict that we're engaged in right now that we don't know what's going on. We don't know the truth. We don't. For one, the truth has not been told. And for another, the truth is being obscured, is being held back. Some would perchance claim that they know all the truth. Oh, we understand this and that and the other, but they don't. They don't have a clue. And some are lying to us. You ever get that impression? It may be somebody storing to you. And it's just like somebody commented just a few moments ago. You can go to the Walmart, you can go here, you can go there, you go, but you can't go to church because you might get sick. Well, that makes no sense, does it? I guess we could attempt to inject some levity into our time together this morning, maybe for a moment or two. What's the funniest thing you've seen during this whole time of coronavirus? What's the funniest thing? Just think about it. You don't have to answer out loud. What's the funniest thing that you've seen in this whole thing? I think the funniest thing I've seen is someone driving in their car with their mask on, with all the windows up. I guess they're protecting themselves from themselves. Does that make sense? Maybe. I guess. That to me, it's just hilarious. It's just it just gives you a little lightness and in the overall thing. I'm not belittling anyone or anything. Some people are dead serious about this, aren't they? They really are. And some people really, really, really worked up and concerned about things. I don't think I have enough sense to be afraid. We've adopted a key verse. We did early on when things first started from 2 Timothy 1:7, "But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that's where God wants us to be, not afraid. Should we be cautious? Well, sure. Is there such a thing as being cautious but being fearless? Well, there is. We can trust God, and we can employ all of the good sanitational. By the way, I think there's some things that we've learned in the process that are beneficial. Some of us have learned to wash our hands, haven't we? I think I've washed all the skin off my hands repeatedly through this time. I just washed my hands. I commented to my wife and I said, do you realize how many times a day we're washing our hands? Just washing our hands. And I know that's not the cure-all for everything, but it's good hygiene, isn't it? It's a good thing to practice. And just being aware of your environment and different things. I know some would see your pastor up here and say, well, oh, I saw him with a cough drop. I wonder what's up with that. Well, let me tell you this. You never see me in this pulpit without a cough drop. I use Fisherman's Friend. This is not a paid advertisement or anything. Pastor Foster hates Fisherman's Friend. He just thinks they're awful. But I use a Fisherman's Friend lozenge, and they just help keep a little moisture in your mouth, and they keep things working real good. And it's just, I don't particularly like them. They're pretty horrible, actually. But it's just good for keeping things moving along, and I've done that for years. I buy them by the case. I buy bulk quantities of Fisherman Friend and keep some in all my coat pockets, my suit pockets. So if you see your pastor taking a cough drop, it's not because I have a cough or I'm sick or carrying anything that's going to infect you. That's just the way that I do it. But we've been exposed to a lot of stuff, haven't we? And I don't say that with any measure of lightness or levity or disdain for anyone else, but it just seems like there are two key phrases that we read in the text, and I'll jump right into them now. One of them is found in verse 13, and one is found in verse 15, because the question is in our mind, where do we go from here? What now? What do we do now? What now? What do we do now? Okay, verse 13, Moses said this to the people, stand still. Stand still. That's the first thing. In verse 15, God said something different. And what did he say in verse 15? Go forward. All right. Within a radius of three verses, God's leadership told the people of Israel, stand still. And two verses later, God said, what are you looking at each other for? Go forward. Stand still and go forward. Is there a conflict there? Well, no, there's not. And let's just delve right into it if we could. Number one, stand still. Stand still. What is the human tendency when there is a crisis or when there's something that's going on? It's not to stand still. Do something. Do something. Now, there's a particular persuasion of politicians that feel obligated to do something every time there's a crisis, a tragedy. Anytime there's anything that happens, I've got to do something, got to pass a new law, as if a new law could fix whatever's bad. It happens particularly when there's any sort of a crime committed with a firearm, with a gun. We need new laws. That's what we need. Whenever someone commits a crime with a gun, you got to pass gun control legislation. Now, that is ridiculous, isn't it? There's never been any measure of gun control legislation that has fixed anything, any gun violence or anything else. And I know I'm live streaming around the world, and there are probably people listening via Facebook and other things, and maybe this is gonna get flagged for something. But you know, the human tendency is you got to do something, and do it quick. Do it without thinking, and do it without proper preparation. Just do something. Just do something. That's human. That's human. But Moses counseled the people of God when they were in an absolutely dangerous, impossible situation was stand still. Stand still. Now, whenever we're inclined to do something quickly, when we're inclined to shoot from the hip, so to speak, it's usually wrong. It usually will not come out right. There's a verse in Psalm 46:10. The first part of the verse says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Did you know that God works in stillness? Do you realize that? Did you know that God works in stillness? I'm thinking of the instance that's given in Scripture when Elijah had an encounter with the God of the universe. And when God revealed himself to Elijah, And there are a lot of things that happened. There was a tempest. There was a storm. There was wind. There was earthquake. There was fire. There was a lot of impressive things going on. But the record is the Lord wasn't in that. The Lord wasn't in that. Nothing there of the Lord. But the last of it was, the Lord appeared to Elijah in a still, small voice. Now, there's a reason why Moses told his people, stand still. And when to get them quiet and get them to focus on God and on God's way and God's plans. And I think that's good for us right now, for us to stand still. Now, we have, obviously, for several weeks been standing still in certain ways. Now, in certain other ways, we've been very active. We've been up moving around, doing stuff. I guess maybe I've been physically busier than ever doing certain things because all of the little darlings in Deltona Christian School have been out to lunch for an extended lunch period for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and we've got things torn apart, and we're spicing up some things, sprucing up some things, and repairing some things and so forth and so on. So there's not really been a lot of standing still physically, but there has been a stillness in some other ways. Just stand still. Just be still for a moment and give God a chance to speak. You know, there is such a thing as God getting lost in the shuffle of all the hustle and bustle of our daily activities. I think it's one big thing that's appeared to me over these weeks is that we've had to reorganize our thinking about certain things. I think at this particular vantage point as a church, it would be good for us to do some soul searching and asking some questions. What is there that we've always done just because we've always done it? We've always done it that way, so we just keep doing it. We've just always done it. And what is there that maybe we should just leave off doing? I'm not suggesting that we go liberal and that we go modernistic about anything at all, but it's certainly been time for some introspection and some inspection of ministry things and important things. Obviously, there have been many things that we've left off, we've had to, that we need to put back into service as quickly as we can, and we need to nurture and we need to advance upon. But this has afforded us a good time to, during this time of hiatus, of activity in certain ways, this coronavirus that's happening, regardless of where you fall out on the discussion. And I'm trying real hard to be nice and polite. There are times that I almost have to laugh in people's face. You know, you're thinking the same thing. You're smiling. You're thinking some of the things that I am. So much inconsistencies and so much double talk and so much wrong information is being pushed upon our American people. And in the midst of all this, all this stuff that's happening, we need to be doing some serious analysis about what in the world is happening. Now, the world's mandate is do something, even if it's wrong. Now, I personally think that a lot of things that our government agencies around the nation have done, I personally think that they're wrong. I think that they're wrong. Some of them were obligated to obey because of the nature of authorities over us. I'm not a rebel that's going to stand here and tell you to be civilly disobedient just because you don't agree with that. That's not the idea at all. I think there have been some wrong decisions, some wrong calls. I think that the term that they're screaming, well, the science says this. Well, actually, there's no science behind it. There's zero science behind it. So you can't use that as a crutch. There's no science behind it. It's only what they want to make science. I firmly disagree with much of what has been pushed upon us as fact and as truth. Can I use the term fear-mongering? It's just an attempt to push upon you a certain fear, a certain trepidation to to control you. So I think the big issue that we've experienced is the matter of surrendering freedoms and liberties and things that we've enjoyed so that someone else can control us. And you know, when this is all over with, the control won't stop. The virus may stop, but the control won't. They'll advance upon the control, and they'll find different ways to control. You know, whoever thought that it would come to a point in America where someone would say, you can't talk to someone face to face. You can't come within 6 feet of someone. When you go down an aisle in Publix, you've got to follow the arrow that says this direction, not that direction. You can't go in this aisle. You've got to come this aisle first and loop around and go that way. Who would have thought that weeks ago? And yet, soon we will simply give in to that, and then they will advance upon that. And soon we'll be like little puppets, little marionettes with the strings moving us around. We will lose our ability to think and reason and even protest. And I salute those who have peacefully protested wrong decisions that have been made in many states in our union. But the fact is, we can't just do something and make it all right. This standstill time that we've been in, I think, can be beneficial and can be very valuable to us if we'll spend time with God, which we have, extra time with the Lord. And that's going to bring us to the second point, and that is go forward. First, stand still and know what God is doing and know what's happening and know what we're supposed to be doing. And then secondly, do it. Now, there is no conflict. There is no disagreement between what Moses said and between what God said. Moses was the servant of God, and Moses was speaking the words that God gave him to speak. And so when Moses told the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, it was exactly what they were to do. Stand still. And then when God said, Moses, why are you calling out to me? Get the people to go forward. And that brings us to the second point. Go forward. This is the command of God. No agreement. But I would offer to you that this going forward is to be a going forward in faith, by faith. In faith. Confidently. Now, we're in uncharted territory. I guess you've heard that phrase used over and over and over again in these weeks together or apart, however we've been. But you've heard many people say, well, we're in uncharted territory now. What's it mean? Well, it simply means never been here before. This never happened before. We've never experienced this. We don't know what to do. When you're in uncharted territory, you can make up the rules as you go and think you're doing okay. But it's better for us as Christians, as God's people, to move forward in faith, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, in confidence. And so our key verse from 2 Timothy 1:7, not the spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. It is what God gifts to us, power and love and sound mind. Those four words, power, love, and sound mind. It goes along with going forward in faith confidently. There's an attachment to that concept, to going forward with the Great Commission. When Jesus spoke in Matthew 28, go ye therefore, the Great Commission, where he commanded his children, his people, initially his disciples, but later all of us to be involved in worldwide evangelism, there is a commission. I think that it was unique to mention that in those days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he told them to do exactly what the children of Israel were told. First, he told the Jews, he said, tarry at Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay here. Tarry. And he knew that he was going to fully equip them through the giving of the Holy Spirit. But first it was stand still. And now he tells them, move forward. Go. Go. And I think if we'll take advantage of all that God has given us during these days, first we will have stood still. And we will have accomplished what God wanted to in the time down, the time apart, perhaps you cleaned out your cupboard at home. Anybody do any house cleaning at home? Judging by what I see sitting alongside the road in front of houses, a lot of people doing a lot of house cleaning. I see whole rooms of furniture and stuff just put out to the road. People doing some deep cleaning. Boy, I call that deep cleaning, don't you? When you move the furniture out too. But there's some been going on at our house. We were babysitting some of our grandkids last evening, and one of my inquisitive grandsons, with whom you're well acquainted, was viewing Papa's table. And so my wife cleaned out, deep cleaned some things in the bedroom and the closet, and some things that hadn't been seen for years. And she knows that there are certain things that I have, she can't do anything with them. She has no idea what to do with them. So she just put a big table out there and put all my stuff on the table and put a tablecloth over it. Just covered it up. That way if we have guests or anybody comes in, they don't have to look at it. But my little grandson, he pulled that tablecloth up. And he saw Papa's table, and he saw stuff he'd never seen before. He saw some amazing things, and he just kept running over. What's this, Papa? What's this do? What's this? Where'd you get that? What's this all about? And he was enchanted by that. Well, we've had some time apart to do some deep cleaning, and some retrospect inspection, and some soul searching, and some other things ministry wise, perhaps. But you know, soon it'll be time for us to go forward. Well, Sunday's today, Mother's Day, as we launch out afresh and anew with the full blessing of our authorities over us, our governor, our state officials. We're not disobeying them whatsoever. And we're trying to be cautious with those that we have here in this room. And we're the world's best at social distancing right here, aren't we? Baptists are. Some people call them back row Baptists, you know. Where you got way back there where you almost have to send a telegram back to the back over here and everything. And that's okay. That's all right. We're taking care of that as well. But the time soon will be to move forward. Now, Jesus said to Peter in the New Testament, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, bound up in that statement that Jesus made to Peter when he was prophesying about the building of his church, bound up in that prophecy was the fact that there is to be a conflict. There is to be a conflict. Do you know church building, reaching people with the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to get people into the church and get them baptized and get them discipled and get them grounded in the faith? It's not a picnic. It's not a pleasant experience all the time. There are built-in conflicts, because there's an evil one that's opposed to us being here. I'm amazed at how in these last weeks, it seems as though the heart, the thrust of the opposition around the country was against churches. It's against churches. Isn't that amazing? They didn't want to shut the Walmarts down, but they wanted to shut the church down. Nobody got fined for going to a Walmart, but some people were arrested and got fined for going to church. As I mentioned in Sunday school, I'm not a big persecution complex guy where I think people are after us all the time or seeking for somebody trying to make it rough on us, but it's just kind of odd that churches would be the spear point of the attack against our civil liberties, wouldn't you think? And so there is a conflict. As Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, the Lord's going to do his work, and he's going to use us to do it if we'll be used, if we'll cooperate with him. But knowing there's going to be a conflict, the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go, knowing there's going to be a conflict. Now, this phrase that he used, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's pictorial, actually, thinking about charging gates. That is, attacking the gates of hell. Did you know that when we go out into the lost world around us and when we give the gospel to people that are in need of salvation, you're attacking Satan's territory. Those are the gates of hell that he's established. But Jesus said they won't be able to prevail against you. There's a conflict, and he sent us forward to do it. Let's stand still for a while, and let's move forward. in the power of God, in faith, receiving His blessing, His protection, His enabling as we go. Do you believe He can do it? Or do you think it's the end of the church? Do you think, it's just God's done with churches? No. He's not nearly finished. In fact, He's not even started with some of us. He's got a lot for us to do. He's got a wide open mission field right here for us. What resources God has given us, what blessings we've received of His hand. And if there's an ounce of spiritual perception in any of us, we'll be more determined than ever to move forward in faith for the glory of God. Well, that's what we do. We stand still and we move forward for the glory of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We can conclude this morning. Thank you for your attention and for your attendance this morning. Looking forward to better days as the Lord brings us all back together and launches us forward into a community that is somewhat prepared and ready for personal contact again. And let's just be open with the Lord personally, with each of us, and ask Him what He'd have us to do with regard to this. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Sunday morning of being together in the house of God, around the Word of God, with the people of God. Father, we suspect You've been doing a work in the heart of many of our folks. And we ask that You would, in the stillness of these moments and hours and days, You would complete the work that You're doing, and then You would launch us forward in victory by faith, such as we've never experienced in this place before. I bless the invitation time together this morning, both here and by extension those that are tuned in through live streaming. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Foster, lead us in a hymn or two of a hymn of invitation hymn. The altars are open this morning. If you need to come for prayer, you may do that. If you need to join us in prayer from your remote viewing station, do so as well. Shall we stand together as we sing?